Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And away we go. Hour number two of our radio program on a Football Friday. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Now joining us, former NFL offensive lineman, obviously hosts the Ross Tucker podcast, and was on the call last night. And has the best laugh out of any color commentator in the history of the National Football League, as all he had to do to describe that Daniel Jones fall was just simply laugh. That, of course, is our good pal, Westwood One, Radio.com, CBS Sports. He does it all. He's Ross Tucker. Ross, how you been, my friend?
Zach, I'm doing awesome, man. Always good to hear your voice and talk with you.
Well, I always do appreciate when you come on, and it's always great to hear your voice. Let me first start you off before we get to the AB stuff. Last night, you're calling that Giants and Eagles game. When Daniel Jones falls down, just what's going through your mind? Because the laughter was awesome on the call.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think what was going through my mind, I'd like to think, was the same thing going through everybody's mind. I mean, first of all, I just couldn't believe, number one, how big the hole was. The Eagles were totally fooled. And then how fast he is. I mean, he's fast. He was pulling away from defensive backs for the Eagles. And then you could see it, maybe the 35 or the 30-yard line, you could just start to see it a little bit, Zach. He started to get out over his skis a little bit, and then it was getting worse. You thought, can he hold it? Can he hold it? No. It just, you know, it reminded you of something almost like a toddler would do. You don't see things like that very often at the NFL level. It was funny. I mean, it was objectively funny. You know, I take the color commentary stuff seriously, and you're taught to not step on the play-by-play guy, Ian Eagle. So I didn't say anything, and I wasn't going to, but I couldn't hold back that laughter. I mean, that was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen on an NFL field, just to see how it all unfolded. He was going to walk in for a touchdown. I will say I'm glad for him that he was still able to score on that. It would have been much worse if, they only got a field goal out of it and ended up losing as a result. At least they scored a touchdown, so it wasn't, didn't materially affect the game.
You're one of the sharp minds with football and usually give great analysis. Is that kind of funny to you, upsetting to you, that the thing that you really went viral for and everyone's like, oh, this is awesome by Ross Tucker, is simply just you laughing?
No, I don't, I try not to take myself too seriously. Every time, like I'm at West Point right now, right? So Monday I called Bills Chiefs for Westwood One. Last night I called Eagles Giants for Westwood One. Tomorrow I'll be calling Army and Mercer at noon for CBS Sports Network. Like, I'm the luckiest guy in the world, man. I'm like, I get to call games and get paid to go to games and enjoy them, laugh. I don't take myself too seriously. I'm glad people enjoyed it. And I will say this, on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, and a lot of places, they didn't do the whole audio clip where after that, Ian Eagle said the turf monster got him. And I said, he was out over his skis, and it was so funny because you could see it coming from 15 yards away. So a couple of the radio stations I've gone on today have mentioned that. I kind of thought out over his skis was like the best way to describe that. So I guess I wish the viral part of it, more people heard that description of it, but ultimately it doesn't really matter. It was just fun.
When we get to the NFC East, do you think the Eagles win this division, or are you going with the Cowboys or someone else?
No, I think it'll be the Eagles. I mean, look, they clearly have the best quarterback in the division, clearly have the best head coach. It's a pretty good place to start. You know, and neither one of them, by the way, have been great this year or even were great last night, quite frankly. But they're clutch. You know, they come through in the end when you're just about to say, okay, they're done, they can't do it. It seems like they come together and figure out a way to get it done in the end. They've done it for a number of years running now, and I would expect that to continue. You know, they're only going to win 7 games, maybe even 6, but I would expect them to be the team that ultimately wins the NFC East.
Ross Tucker here with us. Would it surprise you in the offseason if the Cowboys parted ways after 1 year with Mike McCarthy?
Yes, it would. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they be more likely to move on from Mike Nolan.
Agreed.
Than they would Mike McCarthy. I think they would just make it, you know, on offense, they would say, oh, it's Dak and it's the tackles were hurt and blah, blah, blah. It is defense where they don't have as many excuses and they would make a change.
Let's get to the big news right now. Ross Tucker here with us. Antonio Brown closing in on a 1-year contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers per the NFL Network. I'm not surprised whatsoever. Yourself, reaction if it is in fact Antonio Brown going to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Arians had been pretty open about the fact that he didn't want to do it.
Back in March.
Earlier in training camp. So I think it's interesting that now they're kind of changing their mind, it seems like, a little bit on it. And now they are more likely to go ahead and bring in Antonio. I guess I have a tough time, you know, with that a little bit. He's been a real issue in Pittsburgh, a real issue with the Raiders. You know, you better really feel good about it if you're Tom Brady and the Bucs, because they got a good thing going. I think they're the best team in the NFC right now. And you wonder if he could upset the apple cart a little bit. I guess clearly Brady doesn't feel that way. And I think, you know, that he just wants to give one more weapon, one more guy. He obviously feels pretty strongly about him. And, you know, maybe he's enough to make sure they're able to go ahead and win the NFC.
Well, here's what I'll say. I think that it's low risk, high reward, even though you can't trust Antonio Brown, because if they bring him in and it doesn't work, you just get rid of him. And I don't think it really affects the team all that much. But I would imagine with the Arians element that you bring up, because he was on with Tiki and Tierney back in March and said, hey, you know, we're not interested in doing it. I guess Brady kept on asking, and probably the final straw was Brady said he's going to Seattle. Why don't we just bring him in? I have the best relationship with him out of anybody right now.
Yeah, and the Seattle one really doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you watch the Seahawks, and that seems like the last thing they need is someone else for their passing attack. You know, it's like, how about getting somebody on defense? How about doing this or that? You know, Russell Wilson has like 4 touchdown passes a game, 5. I mean, I guess you can never have too much of a good thing. It's interesting to me that the Seahawks are a team trying to bring him in. You know, he still has this other pending case against him too. I mean, it's an interesting situation. We'll see how productive he'll be and how much of a difference he can make.
If you had to give me a percentage from a number standpoint, and let's just say the Antonio Brown thing works because it's only for a half a season and it could not work, if he's able to stay on the field there, how much of a shot do you give Tampa of getting to the Super Bowl this year?
Really good. I mean, I
would
already
they be the
think
favorite
they've
now?
Got the best shot.
Would they
so
be the favorite?
If you add him and he's able to help them and stay on the field, then I think right now they're a slight favorite. I think if it works out as you describe it, I think they'd be a significant favorite. Because, you know, look, they got a really good defense. They're running the ball well with Ronald Jones. And then if you add one more guy for Brady, yeah, I mean, I think they'd be, if they're like, if there's a 25% chance right now, I'd put it more like at a 50% chance with Antonio Brown.
What do you think's going through Bill Belichick's mind right now when Brady goes to Tampa, brings Gronk with him, now is bringing Antonio Brown, and there's questions if the Patriots will even make the playoffs this year?
I think what's going through his mind right now is we really need to figure out a way to beat the 49ers, because otherwise we'll be 2-4, and that would be really tough to come back from. I think he does a pretty good job of just focusing on the things that he can control and knowing that the other stuff doesn't really matter. You know, Robert Kraft didn't want Antonio Brown there anymore in New England, so he didn't really have an option there. And I think Belichick, I mean, I think, look, he's not dumb. I think he knows his legacy and Brady's are kind of tied to each other forever, and that if Brady does really well this year and Patriots do really bad, that that's a reflection on him. I think he knows that, but I don't think he's spending a whole lot of time on it. He's pretty good about focusing on the things that he can really control.
I think the conversation's just so silly. Like, no matter what Brady does this year, no matter what Belichick does this year, you know, if Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, and let's say Belichick just misses out on the playoffs, they go 8-8, 9-7, does it really change much in the conversation, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think that there are people that believe that Brady has been largely a product of Belichick and that, you know, Belichick's the key. So I think on some level, yeah, I mean, I don't think it makes a huge difference. But in those discussions, those barroom arguments that we'll have for years and years, I think everybody knows that it was a good relationship and it's both those guys together that were the reason why they had so much success. But people will always wonder how much of it was Belichick, how much of it was Brady. If the Bucs win the Super Bowl, that's certainly a pretty darn good argument for Brady.
Ross Tucker, NFL on Twitter. Also Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Who do you like between the Steelers and Tennessee this weekend?
I really like the Steelers, and I'm surprised by the line movement. I was talking about this on the Even Money podcast this week and on BetSweats, the new radio.com show I do every day, and I don't get it. I mean, I think the offenses are comparable. Maybe you could say that they're a little bit better offensively in Tennessee, but the Steelers' defense is much better. And, you know, the Titans just lost Taylor Lewan. I mean, I think the Steelers are the better team. I think the Steelers are going to win the game. So I can't say I totally understand why that line is what it is and the Steelers are getting points. I was all over that on the Even Money Sports Betting podcast.
Is it because maybe of the Devin Bush loss and they're just thinking Derrick Henry's just going to run right through him? I guess that would be the explanation, right?
I guess they're saying that the Devin Bush loss is more significant than the Taylor Lewan loss. I guess I would say I think Bush probably hurts him more in the passing game, not being able to cover tight ends and Jonnu Smith kind of beat up. And I don't know. I mean, I think a left tackle is more important than an off-the-ball linebacker.
Ross Tucker here with us. Packers-Texans. Are the Packers in danger of losing this one, or will they take care of the Texans on Sunday?
I think they'll take care of them, but I am curious to see how they respond. You know, they got their brains bashed in by the Bucs, so I'm kind of curious to see if they're able to come back and get back to the way they were playing before that. I think Houston's going to hang with them. I think Houston's going to be able to score a bunch of points in that game. Ultimately, I think the Packers win, but I do think it's a competitive game.
And now Adam Schefter, it just came across the screen. That's official now. AB to Tampa Bay on a one-year deal. Ross Tucker here with us for a few more moments. I guess Antonio Brown's former team and Brady's former team, the Patriots, we talked about a little bit earlier. 49ers, Pats on Sunday. Ross, I'm a Patriot fan, and I basically declared that the 49ers were going to make the playoffs 2 weeks ago. Then they impressed up against the Rams. I kind of feel like the 49ers are going to make this two in a row in a close game that the 49ers just find a way. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I don't really know especially what to expect from the Patriots at this point. You know, was last week a one-week aberration, Or is this kind of who they are and who Cam is now? Because previously, whenever the Patriots have had a down week, as you know, and these questions have come up, they always bounce back. They always find a way to play well after that and get a win. That's when they had Brady, though. I mean, are they the same way now with Cam Newton? We're about to find out. One of the most intriguing games of the day, for sure.
When we get to Seattle and the Cardinals, does this have upset in favor of the Cardinals, or does Seattle just outscore them? Because the Cardinals' defense, better than what I thought it was going to be going into the year.
Yeah, how about Byron Murphy and Buda Baker, right? I love that, by the way. I love guys like that. They're both considered undersized. They were both considered, hey, you know what? They're not great 40 times. Those are ballers, man. Those guys are straight-up ballers. Their play speed is amazing, and I love it. So I think you're going to see I think it's going to be an awesome game. I think it's like 31-28, 35-31. Ultimately, though, it just seems like Russell Wilson always comes through at the end. I kind of suspect that he will again. I think he'll find a way to win the game late like he always does. I do say, though, I kind of like the Cardinals with the points. I said this on the Even Money podcast. I mean, 3.5, you know, to go through that key number against Seattle, I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona won the game. And even if they lose, I do think it's close.
Do you like the Panthers plus the 7.5, 7, depending on where you got the line? No Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders for the Saints, Panthers Saints on Sunday.
Yeah, that is my favorite bet of the week. Carolina getting the points. Don't understand that line at all. We talked about this on Bet Sweats. We talked about it on Even Money podcast. Like, for what? I mean, the Saints haven't blown anybody out this year. And now there's no Michael Thomas. They've got issues, no Emmanuel Sanders. And the Panthers only lost one game by more than a touchdown. And that game was against the Bucs when the Bucs were just running the clock out. Leonard Fournette took it like 70 yards. So I really don't get that at all. It's my favorite bet of the week is Carolina getting the points.
Wrapping up with Ross Tucker, does a great job. He's here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Bears or Rams, which team do you believe in more, and what team do you think is more of a threat throughout the rest of the season?
I would have said Rams until last week against the Niners. Now I'll say the Bears. It's ugly. They're winning a different way, but they're winning. Defense is really good. Special teams is really good. And the offense does just enough. And people don't want to, like, all the other top teams are all, you know, MVP candidate quarterbacks. That's not how Chicago's going to roll, but I'm okay with it. I think they're good.
All right, before we let you run, Ross Tucker, when we get back to the AB news, it seems like you don't love it, just going back to what we were talking about earlier.
I'm not, you know, there's a reason why he's had all the issues that he's had. I'll believe that he's able to stay on the field, not do something stupid when I see it. You know, I'm skeptical. Yeah, I guess I would say I'm skeptical. I think everybody, oh, AB, Antonio Brown. I mean, when's the last time he even played? You know, it's like, well, let's see. Let's see how it works out. Obviously, Brady feels strongly about it. So that's a pretty good recommendation.
All right. Now, before we let you run, we got to get back to the call from last night. You were on the call, Westwood One, yourself, Ian Eagle. You saw Daniel Jones fall down on that crazy run. It got me wondering, what's your most embarrassing NFL moment?
Ooh, that's a good question. Monday Night Football, my second year with Washington. We're playing the Eagles, the team I grew up with, team I grew up a fan of. A bunch of my high school buddies come to the game. First half does not go well for the guy that was starting at left guard. They put me in. I played very poorly. I got jacked up on the first play by Darwin Walker on a bull rush. Then they ran a stunt. I didn't get off of it. The moment was like too big for me, played really poorly, and that was rough, man, really rough.
What's your buddy say to you afterwards?
They were just trying to console me and say it was okay and don't worry about it. But, you know, it's just, it's different when you know it could affect your job. You know what I mean? Like, it's different when you didn't just play poorly. You might get fired now.
You put that into a real situation here. Now, like, you're making me end here on a somber note with you, Ross Tucker. So before we let you run.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's embarrassing as much as what, but yeah, man.
I feel like my puppy just died at the end of this conversation.
No, it's all right, man. It's a long time ago. I'm good.
All right, so real quickly, before we let you go, and I feel like I've said this now like 10 times. You said it four times.
Yeah, four times.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's what makes a good conversation. last question. More things are popping into my head. This one I know that you'll really like. All your podcasts, tell us how we find them. Give us everything we need to know how we could listen to Ross Tucker.
Well, hopefully most people already know how to listen to podcasts. If you don't, just go to rostucker.com or check out the podcast app on your phone, because I got a fantasy podcast, a fantasy feast. I do the Ross Tucker football podcast every day. It's 30 minutes, what you need to know about NFL. I've got the Even Money podcast for sports betting, college draft, if you're into college. And I go on Bet Sweats 10 to 12 on the radio.com app every day as well, which is a blast.
Ross Tucker, you're the best. Thanks so much.
All right. See you, Zach.
There's Ross Tucker. Right, Ross, before we let you run. No, I realize I said that 4 or 5 times. When you get big breaking news like we've had tonight with Antonio Brown, your head just spins. And you get so excited, and then so many different things make your mind move in a bunch of different directions. All right. Well, break here. When we come on back, we're going to call it an audible. Are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to win the Super Bowl this year? We'll discuss. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
AB going to Tampa Bay. How about that? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on the Zach Gelb Show, as always, 855-212-4227. Sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Before the season, I thought the Super Bowl was going to be Seattle against Kansas City. Russ going up against Patrick Mahomes, Pete Carroll, Andy Reid. Still could happen. If we had to repick our Super Bowl picks, though, right now, and Connor, I wasn't working with you at the time, to be fair, what was your Super Bowl pick? Who did you like before the year?
I had Chiefs, and then I believe I had Packers.
Okay, so we both had the Chiefs. How about those Chiefs? And then you had the Packers. I had Seattle. If you could substitute one of those teams right now, you're not substituting the Chiefs, correct?
I would not, no.
Because if we look at the landscape in the AFC, the four teams that have a shot to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. Now, there could be a preference on who you like out of those three teams. It may be the Steelers because of their defense. You may like the Ravens after yesterday acquiring Yannick Ngakoue. You may think the Ravens will turn it around and be dominant like they were last year and then just capitalize this year in the postseason. Or you may like the Tennessee Titans, who last year got to the AFC Championship game, beat the Patriots up, beat up the Baltimore Ravens, and maybe you like Tannehill and Henry, even though they can't get off the field on third down. Now, if you had to make me rank them right now, I'd probably go 1 Chiefs, 2 Pittsburgh, 3 Baltimore, 4 Tennessee. That's where I would probably go now. Is there any disagreement there, Connor Green? You go Chiefs 1, Steelers 2, Ravens 3, Tennessee 4?
I think I would just flip-flop Tennessee, or not Tennessee. I would flip-flop Steelers and Baltimore. I think Baltimore is still the second-best team.
And that's fair. People could be sleeping on Baltimore because there's a sour taste in a lot of our mouths with Baltimore because they didn't show up against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that could quickly evaporate in a snap of a finger next week, regardless of what happens between the Steelers and the Titans, but when the Steelers do go up against the Baltimore Ravens. So that's fair. You know, there's not a lot of pushback there. At the end of the day, though, there is still a separation with the Chiefs up against everyone else in the AFC. In the NFC, it's more wide open. You got Tampa. You got the Packers. You got Seattle. You still throw the Saints into that conversation. You know, those are the four teams, right? Packers, Seattle, Saints, and then the Buccaneers. You know, well, let me just go through this entirely. NFC East, no. The North, just the Packers. The South, Saints, and also the Bucks. And then the West, you take the Seahawks. If you could substitute, you had the Packers. I had the Seattle Seahawks. Would you substitute now?
I probably would, but I don't know if it's a clear Tampa Bay being the team I would swap in or if it would be Seattle. I think Tampa Bay is a more complete team, but I think as the season goes on, Seattle will get better defensively. But if I had to make the choice right now, I would swap out the Packers with Tampa Bay, especially after what happened last week.
I would do the same thing, and I would swap out Seattle. Now, Seattle could still get there. I'm just looking at those four teams, and you look at the flaws. Packers, I still don't trust their defense. You also don't have a legit weapon to complement in the receiving standpoint, Devontae Adams. For the Saints, I don't trust Drew Brees at this stage of his career as the season does get later on. And then the Seahawks, their glaring weakness, we know they could outscore anyone. Their glaring weakness, though, is their defense. And what Seattle needs to do, they need to be like Kansas City last year. Where, remember last year, and everyone has in the forefront of their mind the Seahawks right now. Last year, though, a lot of people, middle of the season, especially with the Mahomes injury, they were jumping off the Chiefs bandwagon, especially with how bad the defense was. And on the night where Mahomes got hurt, Steve Spagnuolo told me this after the Super Bowl, that was the turning point for them. Because, yes, it was devastating that they lost Mahomes. At the time, people thought Mahomes was done for the season. Then he only ended up missing two games with a dislocated kneecap. That defense, though, I think they had a score to end the game. The defense played very well, and Spagnuolo thought that was the turning point. And the Chiefs' defense wasn't great. However, they were great when they needed to, when they needed to be. Down 24, they turned it around. Down 10, they turned it around. Final 7.5 in the Super Bowl, down 10, they turned it around. You don't need to be great on defense for 60 minutes. You just need to be great in certain situations. Situational football. So if the Seahawks, by mid-November, you know, a month from now, even late November, Thanksgiving, can find a way to turn it around. They haven't had Jamal Adams the last few weeks, too, and he's not going to play this weekend as well up against the Cardinals, that game now, Sunday Night Football. If they could just, in the final 4 or 5 games of the year, turn this bad boy around, then that could be the difference this year. If you ask me, though, right now, Zach, who's your Super Bowl pick? I'm going Bucks, and I'm going the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going chalk. The Bucs sent a big-time message going down 10 to the Packers, coming on back, 38 unanswered. And the thing that scares me with the Bucs, we haven't even seen this offense play great this year. Think about it. Entire offseason, Brady in Tampa. Look at Brady with Gronk and Evans and Godwin. I know AJ Howard's now out, but Howard and Brady and Ronald Jones, weapons, 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 weapons. A lot of people were not talking about that defense. Now, if you listen to this show, I was talking about that defense, how I was interested in that defense, how they showed signs last year. Could they develop consistency, though? It's been the biggest storyline of the Bucs through the first 6 weeks. You know, I know now since AB's going, everyone's going to be like, AB Brady, AB Brady. The biggest storyline when you watch the game has been the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. So you factor in that defense with an offense that's only going to get better. If AB could stay on the field, how do you guard these guys in the red zone? How do you guard them? You got Gronk, who, as the season goes on, he'll get better. You got Mike Evans, Godwin, and AB. All right, you take away, let's say, Evans and Godwin. You still got Gronk. And AB, even if you could find a way to take all four of those guys out of the equation, you know who benefits from this probably the most? Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones is going to get an absurd amount of yards out of the backfield now. And he was already playing really well going back to last year and especially the last few weeks. Give me a Tampa Bay-Kansas City Super Bowl. You get B.A., Andy Reid. You get both of those offenses, and what will it come down to? Which defense can make a stop? Like, look back at the Patriot-Eagles Super Bowl. You would say it's safe to say, Connor Green, when we talk about that, people say it's one of the greatest offensive Super Bowls of all time, right?
That's true.
The biggest play of that game wasn't the Philly special. It was a defensive play when Brandon Graham forced the fumble and Derek Barnett recovered it as the Patriots were driving. That was the biggest play of that Super Bowl. Just like Brandon Graham last night, strip sacking Daniel Jones. That was a big play in that game. Now, a little bit different when you do it against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, but that's what Brandon Graham does, who, let's give credit to Brandon Graham. There was a while he took a beating in Philadelphia. How did the Eagles not draft Earl Thomas? Now Earl Thomas doesn't even have a job. Brandon Graham went from bust to making the biggest play in Eagles history when he took that ball away from Tom Brady. So a defensive play, if it is Chiefs and Buccaneers, will decide the Super Bowl this year. And that defensive play could be a pick six in the third quarter, or it could be Brady or Mahomes with the ball late in a tie game, or one of them down by a point, 2 points, 3 points, and someone makes a stop when it matters the most. That would be a great Super Bowl. And it would be in Tampa Bay, too. Man, this stinks. You know, I'm now starting to think about the Super Bowl. I go each and every year. I'm not going to be going this year. We're always on Radio Row, having a blast, doing great shows. They're not going to send us to the Super Bowl this year. No way. Not a shot. Man, this stinks. Imagine if you get Mahomes, Brady in a Super Bowl. You thought the AFC Championship game was nuts. Imagine you get them in a Super Bowl. Huh. That would be something. All right, we'll break here. We'll come on back. We'll do the news brief. We'll update you on all the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. First up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to the very talented Bob Uecker.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Connor Green, by the way, I just remembered this. Yesterday, you know what I did in my fantasy football league?
What'd you do?
I picked up Antonio Brown.
I did too, Zach.
That's a pretty damn good move by me. I was talking with one of my buddies, Jason, and he goes, "You picked up AB? You don't even know where he's going to play." I go, "I just got a feeling this thing's going to materialize in the next 24, 48 hours. And we do all these bidding processes. So if it was before Wednesday and I got him yesterday on Thursday, you have to put in a certain amount of money. And it's fake money. You get a $100 budget. Since it was after waiver wire Wednesday, I got him for nothing. Now I had the Bucks and I had the Colts defense. With the Colts not playing this week, I just cut the Colts defense and picked up Antonio Brown. Oh, ho, ho, ho. I have the most points in my league. I have 2 wins on the season. I am the Dallas Cowboys.
Don't you have Tom Brady, too?
I do have Tom Brady. I have Brady. I have Russ. McCaffrey, I have Hurt. I picked up Robbie Anderson. You know, I drafted him. I have Joe Mixon. He got hurt. Now we do a 2-quarterback league. So I got Keenan Allen, too. So I got a loaded team. I did well. The rookie wide receivers, I drafted both Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, got them late. Both have turned out to be great, especially Justin Jefferson in fantasy. Let me remind you, though, because enough about my fantasy team, because I'll start to get tweets. No one cares about your fantasy team. No one cares, Zach. Well, you know what? I just spent about a minute talking about it, so you'll care, you'll listen, and you'll love the show. Sunday, it's an NFL and CBS doubleheader with the early games featuring two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe when Big Ben and the Steelers head to Tennessee to take on Tannehill and the Titans. Later, most of you will see if the 49ers can turn their season around against the Pats, while others will watch the Chiefs battle the Broncos. We get you set for the day's action with the NFL at today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. We start things off with last night's wonderful football game. Eagles come from behind down 11 with a little over 6 minutes to go. They win the game 22-21. Here is Doug Peterson on the performance of Carson Wentz, who threw a game-winning touchdown pass to Boston Scott.
It wasn't, maybe on the stat sheet things look good, but there's some throws and there's some decisions I think he would want back. But I tell you what, he's the leader of our team for a reason, and you saw that tonight. leading our team down there to get that the two scores late in the game. But overall, hung in there, played tough again tonight. We've put ourselves in position to really either tie the game a week ago, and of course this week win the game. And it's what it takes. I mean, you know, especially in the situation that we are, you know, health-wise as a team, we know these games are going to be probably closer than we would like.
Next up, we go to Evan Engram. You go from what Carson Wentz being the guy that got the job done last night for the Philadelphia Eagles to the antithesis. And when you get to the other side of it, Evan Engram, he catches that football from Daniel Jones. The game's over. Eagles don't lose. And it's a much different show today when talking about this matchup. Here's Evan Engram on his crucial drop last night in the game.
Got the look we wanted, third down. Got man look, a one on the inside fade. DJ threw a great ball, just didn't finish the play. It's tough, you know. Don't want to be on the short end of a turnover. I got to be better with mechanics and small things. And
you got to catch the ball.
It sucks. Sucky feeling right now. But just got to get back to work and correct those things.
If I was Joe Judge, remember in the offseason training camp, someone messes up, you take a lap. I would have been like Herb Brooks last night. Again, again, again. And just make him go up and down the steps at Lincoln Financial Field. What a terrible drop by one Evan Engram. Let's hear from Dallas's coach Mike McCarthy talking about terrible. Here is Mike McCarthy on the talk that Jerry Jones is forcing him to let Kellen Moore call the plays in Big D.
That's 100% false. I mean, I've been in the league long enough to understand that when things don't go right, there's opportunity to create perception of drama. I mean, Kellen Moore was part of my presentation to Jerry and Steven on the interview, because I mean, this was the one opportunity where I felt it was important, based on where Dak was in his career, to try to build off of the momentum that was created with him in his first four seasons. I mean, that was the goal coming in, and I just don't know why I was ever questioned. And trust me, I love calling plays, did it for a long time, but I can't say enough about the job that Kellen's doing and just the way we've put this thing together. But he's running it, and I'm in total control of those decisions.
Do you have the Jerry Jones response to this, Connor? Let me hear Jerry Jones also talk about that, because that came up, I think, this on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Mike McCarthy jumped on the table when he walked through the door to have the chance to keep Kellen Moore. Nobody ever said keep Kellen Moore. He jumped on the table. He'd been following him, and he wanted him to be there with him. But make no mistake about it, we're going to get all of Mike McCarthy in every route and every block we make.
What the heck is he even saying? So when they're at that slumber party, when they're building a tent and building a fort, and, hey, Mike, I got some cookies and some milk. Let's gather around the fire. McCarthy jumps on the table in Jerry Jones' palatial estate. I want Kellen Moore. Give me Kellen Moore right now. Keep him. Let him call the plays. What a disaster the Dallas Cowboys are. 2-win football team. Could still win this division. Every week, there's drama. It's almost as if the Cowboys don't evaluate success with wins and losses. It's, can we create the most possible drama as possible? Wild. Earlier this week, two players talking to Jane Slater. Coaching staff stinks. Now, there's this whole controversy on Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, and you got Mike McCarthy talking about it and Jerry Jones as well. Dallas never changed, because if you change, then maybe you'll start winning. Just keep on giving us drama. Death, taxes, drama with the Dallas Cowboys. Let's hear from Shaquille O'Neal. He was on the big podcast with Shaq, his own podcast. This is Shaquille O'Neal saying the Clippers must trade Paul George.
They're going to have to get rid of somebody.
Ooh, who?
Come on, bro.
Pandemic on. P.
You got to use him to get two good, solid players. Because I need Kawhi to be the man. I don't want Kawhi to delegate. See, when Kawhi was with Toronto, he knew he was the man. Everybody knew he was the man. Now you got one guy that thinks he's the man and one guy that is the man. They got a guy coming off the bench that knows he's the man. Look, it may look good in a certain game, but when you got to slow the game down and do certain things, that'll never work.
I just wonder where the respect in the locker room is for Paul George, who, after they lost, basically was like a coward and started making excuses and was saying things that didn't even make sense. Oh, yeah, this wasn't playoff or bust when everyone, or championship or bust, when everyone knew it was championship or bust. And I wonder, like, what Kawhi Leonard thinks of playoff Pinocchio now and Paul George. Let's hear Ty Lue, the new coach of the Clippers, on Paul George's future with the LAC.
Anytime you have a chance to win a championship, it's pressure. And I think Kawhi and PG are here to stay for a long time. It's just, I think in their situation and what they, where they want to be is here with the Clippers. And we just got to make it a great environment, and we have to win.
What else is he going to say? Contract is has an opt-out at the end of the year for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard at the end of this upcoming season, which now may start. At first, it was Christmas, then it was after the new year. Now it may be going back to starting at Christmas. Yeah, I wonder where we're going to be a year from now for a lot of things in this world, where we are with COVID and all that. But next October, when we get ready to start the basketball season after this upcoming one, so two basketball seasons from now, is Paul George still going to be with the Clippers? Is Kawhi Leonard still going to be with the Clippers? Those are things that I think about. Minka Fitzpatrick, Steelers-Titans this weekend, biggest game of the week. Here's Minka Fitzpatrick saying if he notices any changes in Ryan Tannehill since they played together down in Miami.
No, not really. No, he's a real good quarterback. He's smart with the football. He's an accurate passer. He's very athletic. You know, some people see his athleticism. He played receiver in college, and you know, he has some escapability out of the pocket.
And then one more. Let's hear Derrick Henry talking about the Steelers' defense.
This has always been physical. Always have a physical defense. Like, they always have a good defense. Always has a stout front, physical linebackers, guys that are physical in the back end as well, fast. Just all-around good defense. They've been playing incredible football on that side of the ball, so it's going to be a big challenge for us come Sunday.
I can't wait for that game. If I could watch one game this weekend, Steelers-Tennessee. I keep on going back and forth because both teams have big losses. Taylor Lewan for the Tennessee Titans, Devin Bush for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tannehill has been awesome this year. Derrick Henry's been awesome. Steelers offense starting to get much better with Ben and James Conner. Chase Claypool has been a really good story the last few weeks. And that defense, yeah, there's been some ups and downs, but they really took it to the Browns last week. That's going to be such a good game. That's got the feeling of what, 24-23? Whoever has the ball last, whoever can maybe make the bigger defensive stand could win. May come down to third down. Honestly, that's what it may come down to. If I had to give you a pick right now, and I've been going back and forth, probably gone back and forth nine times during the show, I'll take the Steelers because the Titans have the worst third down defense in the National Football League. When we come on back, let's go through the Antonio Brown entire timeline. Will the AB timeline be a success and end in a success in Tampa Bay? We discuss next. CBS Sports Radio, Zach Gilb Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.